All right. Amen. And missed a few folks, Charlie and Allison. Good to have them visiting with us today. And Phyllis's grandbaby. That's the only way we can refer to him. And then good to have Tyler and Janelle Pearson and a new baby, Jackson Charles. Good to have them visiting with us as well today. Praise the Lord. Back to our familiar Christmas passage, Ephesians 2. You say, wait a minute, it's supposed to be Luke 2 or Matthew. No, Ephesians 2. And you probably already know what I'm going to talk about. It's found in verse 8, the gift of God, the gift of God. And it's such a familiar couple of verses. When we were supposed to be quiet, many of us went ahead and said verse 9 with Brother Tim. And because we tie those together, verse 8 and verse 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And those are precious words, the gift of God. That's what I want to talk to you about today, the gift of God. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Thank you for the great service. Thank you for all who are here, so many visiting. And we do pray, of course, for the many that are out of town, that you give them safety. But we thank you for all who are gathered here. Help us to realize it's not an accident that we're here today. That you have something for us from your word. And I pray that we would, certainly those of us that are saved would appreciate the wonderful gift of God. But Lord, if there's someone here today who does not know you as Savior, I pray that they would trust Christ and they'd be saved today, thus making this the greatest Christmas of their lives. I pray you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Since November, we have all been bombarded with this idea of gifts. I mean, we hear phrases like, this is the perfect gift. You know, you hear that. You hear, this is a gift for the hard-to-buy-for person. How many of you have a hard-to-buy-for person in your world? All right, many of you do. And then you'll hear, oh, this gift, this is for the person who has everything. Well, if they have everything, what could you possibly? Oh, we have the thing for the person who has everything. And the three, letters, word, buy. TV, radio, email, texting. They have found us on texting now. I get all these random texts now that and I fell for one. Yes, I did. But you get, you know, all these different things. And what are they doing? They want your money. They want you to buy that gift. They know that you're thinking about gifts. They know that, you've got Aunt Clarabelle, that you've got to find something for you. They know, Uncle Cletus, you've got to get that gift. And they know that's on your mind. And they know now, especially, I mean, for many, you waited, didn't you? You know, you've gotten past all the great deals. Well, they've got a great deal for you, I promise you. By tomorrow, there'll be a great deal. By today, probably in the newspaper, there'll be that great deal. Oh, this is it. This is the one for all of you that waited. This is the one gift. Buy. Now, we realize that in our day, most of the people have X'd Christ out of Christmas. I mean, really, it's amazing. You hear happy holidays all the time. Now, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's over all the time. Happy holidays, happy holiday. You know, and I always, Merry Christmas. And, well, happy holiday. Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, and you just want to fight. And, but no, we don't do that, really. But, well, I hope you don't. But, they don't want Christ involved in this thing. Well, it is his birthday we celebrate, amen? And we certainly haven't done that. But the reality is this, all right? Christmas, really, this passage of Scripture is really what Christmas is all about. It is all about the gift of God. I mean, honestly, we'll all exchange gifts, and some already have, and some of you have already, you know, opened all the presents and everything. That's wonderful, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that, having gifts and everything. But really, ultimately, it's all about God sending His Son to die on a cross so we could have the gift of God, which is salvation, which is eternal life, the gift of God. As Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now again, this unspeakable gift, it's not like a lot of the gift exchanges where you open something and you don't know what it is. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've opened things, say, oh, nice. And you're, you know, honey, what is it? I don't know what it is. Maybe grandma got it, you know, and you open it up and you have no clue. You have absolutely no idea. Well, God's unspeakable gift is not because we don't know what it is. It's because it is so amazing. It is unspeakable because it is absolutely the most amazing gift a person could ever receive. I mean, you might have got a gift card to Starbucks. You might have got gift cards to Walmart. You might have got gift cards to other places and stores and different things. But the most amazing gift in all the world is God's gift to mankind. I mean, it should not even be a consideration. It's unspeakable that God Almighty would provide us salvation. It's amazing to me. It's an unspeakable gift, and yet God offers it, and often in the Scripture talks about this wonderful, wonderful, amazing gift called salvation. Just looking through verses 1 through 6, we can understand how amazing this thing is. And you, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Not because we were simply born sinners, but because we sinned. We chose to sin. And we were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's how we lived. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, Satan, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh. You know, I want, I want, I want. Don't care what God says. I want to do this. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, not just thinking it, but doing it. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But praise God for the next two words in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That means made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we get an idea that this gift, it goes on and says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I'm saved today. I'm going to heaven today. I am quickened. I'm made alive today from being dead. I'm made alive because of the gift of God. If you're saved today, you are saved today because of the gift of God, the salvation provided by God Almighty, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We don't deserve it, never have deserved it, could not deserve it. It is the gift of God. Every cliche about gifts that could ever be said certainly must be said about the gift of God. It is the perfect gift. It is for the person who has everything. It is for the hard to buy for person. Let me give you some things out of the Scripture that describe the gift of God. Number one, his gift is personal. His gift is personal. And really, we're always trying to find that thing that is just right for people. We go out of our way. My wife goes out of her way. She really tries hard to get that thing that is just right. I did that when I was a child. I remember one of my favorite gifts I gave my dad was when he said, we bothered him and said, what do you want for Christmas? He said, nothing, nothing, nothing. We wrapped up a box of nothing and gave it to him. He was so excited about that. And I remember when I was very, very young and I used to suck my thumb. And when I was, you know, like 15, 16, no, when I was just a child, and Dad was really upset, and he said, you need to quit sucking your thumb, you know, you need to get away from that thing. And I remember one time, it was Dad's birthday, and I put a little bow on my thumb, and I gave it to my dad for his birthday, and I quit sucking my thumb. And he was so excited about that. It's a personal gift. You know, that wouldn't mean anything to anybody else. It wouldn't mean anything to, but it meant a lot to him. And it's personal. Now, understand, God's gift is personal. It's for each individual. It starts off in chapter 2 with the two words, and you. And it's to me, all right? It is a personal gift. If you made out what's those things called? The little name tag, whatever the thing is. I don't know, I just totally drew a blank because I haven't put mine on yet. On my wife's gifts. And we have little cute names for each other. I'm not going to tell you what they are. But I know you'd like to know. But anyway, God is putting his little name tag on. It says, to you. Okay, it's a personal gift. It's to you. You put your name there. Anybody could put their name. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you've done. His gift is personal. And you, it says. By the way, then he describes it further. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's me. That's you and me, okay? That is what we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. If you're not saved today, you are dead in trespasses and sins, and you need the life that God's gift gives. You, he says, who were dead. That's me. That's you. That's those of us who are dead spiritually because we've not been saved. And if you've been saved, praise God, he gave you life. You're quickened. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin, okay? That's the wages. That's what I've earned because of my sin. The Bible says that's death. The wage of sin is death. But then it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here without Christ today, you need that gift. Otherwise, the wages, the sin you've committed has caused you to be dead in trespasses and sins. There's nothing you can do about it. There is no doctor you can see about it. There is nobody that can help you with it other than going to the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving his gift. It is a personal gift. It is for you. I can't receive your gift for you. I cannot, some religions say, well, you can do this for somebody else and it'll help them. The one religion, Catholicism, I believe, you can put money in, and everything. And boy, that's a great gimmick. And buy people out of purgatory and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. You're dead in trespasses and sins. They were your sins. You are the one who is dead. You are the one Jesus died for. And you can be saved today if you take the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I was dead at the age of 17. I received God's gift, and now I'm alive. There's a huge difference, obviously, in from being dead to being alive. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Put your name in there. Put your name on the little name tag. Whosoever, that's you, that's me, that's anyone. And praise God that his gift is personal. It is for you. It's for certainly each and every one of us, but you today, if you've not been saved, you can be saved. His gift is personally for you. It's a personal gift because I have a personal need. Christmas and the Christ in Christmas, understand, it is only offensive to people because it tells us we have a need. It tells us that we are sinners. I mean, the Christ in Christmas, why did he come? I mean, ultimately, okay, hark the herald angels sing, and the angels sing, and everybody's rejoicing, and the shepherds come, and they rejoice, and everybody, boy, they like that. They like all that. I'll never forget the bar in town that put an advertisement at Christmas and had a picture of the manger scene, and it said peace on earth. And I thought, they can like all that kind of, wow, this is kind of neat, until they realize that Jesus that is laying in that manger is coming to die. Well, why would he come to die? What would they? Because we're sinners. Oh, forget that. Hi, X. No, we don't want to hear that. No. I don't want to know that I'm a sinner. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. And that's our world today. That's the biggest obstacle any soul winner ever has. Biggest obstacle at the fair, okay? It's not the people that want us to get a license to sell food and different. That's not our biggest problem. What's the biggest problem? Biggest problem is people saying, don't tell me I'm a sinner. Biggest problem when you knock on doors, don't tell me I'm a sinner. Biggest problem in every church that preaches the gospel, don't tell me I'm a sinner. Biggest problem you have today, if you're not saved, the biggest problem you're having right now is, I do not want to hear that I'm a sinner. Because I don't want to have any needs, because I got it made. I'm an American. I've got two cars. I got a big house. I got this. Got a good job. Got this, 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 this. The Christ of Christmas offends people because they find out they have a need. Personal need. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. And that's why the Bible is so clear in Scripture. You know, when it talks about the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. lest any man should boast. That not of yourselves. Wait a minute, I can't get out of this mess? You can't. Not on your own. You need the gift of God. That's Christmas. That's what it's all about. That's what the trees, the decoration, the lights, the celebration, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Yeah, that's what it's all about, folks. Don't get caught up in anything else than what it really is all about. It's all about, hey, we needed Jesus to come. We needed Him to come and die to pay for our sins. We needed His blood to be shed so that our sins could be blotted out. We needed this gift. Praise God, He came to provide that gift. His gift is for me personally. It is for you personally. Number one, His gift is personal. Number two, His gift is perfect. Some of you are still looking, aren't you? You still are. I mean, you have been online. You've looked online for this thing or that thing. You've looked at all the different options, and boy, they're everywhere. It's amazing. You've gone to Kohl's. You've gone to Penny's. You've gone to Walmart. You've gone everywhere. You're still looking for that perfect thing. I mean, you're hoping that maybe your kids will find it over in the Berean Bucks store, and there's quality items, I guarantee. There's stuff from far, far, far away. You'd be amazed. And you're hoping, you know, oh boy, you know, I'm just that perfect thing. I've got to have that perfect thing. And you know, you really thought the world was going to end and you wouldn't have to find it, didn't you? You really thought. I mean, all the great deals are past. All the ads are now, they're expired. You were hoping, oh, if the world would just end, I wouldn't have to buy Aunt Margaret that gift, you know, Uncle Cecil, I wouldn't have to find that thing. And oh, now, there it is. Now you're stuck. World didn't end. Now you got to do it. Listen to me. God's gift is absolutely perfect. I think about perfect gifts. You know, and I think I've mentioned this before. My dad, one year we got him a bad call brick for watching the IU basketball games. Dad would get so mad at the referees, we got him a brick, and it was red, obviously, and it said it was the bad call brick. Every time the ref made a bad call, Dad would throw the brick at the television. Now it was made out of sponge rubber, and it just bounced off. But he literally did. I watched him in games. I mean, he'd take that thing and he'd throw that thing, and it just bounced off the TV. And that was a great thing. But the best, I think, the most perfect gift, not my favorite gift, but one of the most perfect was his pull apart referee. I'm serious. Arms were Velcroed onto the body. The legs were Velcroed on. The head was Velcroed on. And literally, I would watch him get so upset at games. He'd pull an arm off and throw it down. Maybe throw it at the TV with the brick. And it was just one of the great things. Great entertainment watching Dad. And we're thinking about giving one of those to Brother Poor. But I mean, you know, those are perfect, and that's what you're hoping for, that perfect thing. But you know, look at James 1, real quick. James 1, verse 17. James 1 and verse 17. The Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? It's from above, amen? It's not from online. You're not going to find the perfect gift online. You're not going to find always the good gift at Kohl's or Penny's or Walmart or wherever it might be. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every perfect gift. Amen. By the way, he says that right after verses 14 and 15 that say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Watch this. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every perfect gift. We had to have a gift that would do away with that death part. There had to be a gift that would do away with the wages of my sin, which is death. Well, there has to be a perfect gift. There's only one perfect gift. That would be life. And only God gives that. For the one who has everything and the one who has nothing, it's the perfect gift. You can have everything, but you also may have nothing. And God's gift is life because our sin gives us death. It's the perfect gift because it's life for those who have death. It's a perfect gift. It's bread for the hungry. It's water for the thirsty. It's freedom for the captive. It's sight for the blind. It's hearing for the deaf. It's healing for the sick. It's payment for the debtor. It's life for the dead. Listen to me. It is the perfect gift. Back in Ephesians 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, God comes with His gift. Even when we were dead, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God comes with His gift. It's the perfect. What can take away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. It is heaven when we deserve hell. It's the perfect. His gift is perfect. Number one, His gift is personal. Number two, His gift is perfect. Number three, His gift is priceless. It is priceless. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It's the precious blood of Christ, the sacrifice of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We all have blood, every one of us. Every person here, the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you don't have any blood, you're not alive. We all have blood. But here's our problem. None of us have that kind of blood that is without blemish and without spot. He was tempted in all points, such as we are, yet without sin. And our blood is tainted with sin. You say, "Well, I've got blood," and but your blood is sinful blood. And His blood is the perfect, spotless blood of the Lamb of God, the Lamb that was without blemish and without spot. And that's priceless. You cannot find a sinless person who could qualify as Jesus did. Perfect. We will spend lots and lots of money this year on Christmas. Many do. You'll buy your kids, your grandkids, your relatives, husbands, wives, all that, spend lots and lots of money. But there's a price on how much money. Honestly, you can't put a price tag on the blood of Jesus Christ. God gave His only begotten Son. What kind of price could you put on that? His only begotten Son. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus was born to die. That's why He came. Otherwise, He wouldn't come. Why would He leave heaven's glory? He only left heaven's glory so He could come and live here on this earth and walk among men and live the life that we live and be tempted in all points, such as we are. Every temptation you've ever faced, He was tempted that way. Every time that we've yielded to our temptation, He was tempted that way, but He didn't yield. There is no other way other than Him coming and being born so that He could die on an old rugged cross. Again, Christmas doesn't bother, the religiousness of Christmas, it doesn't bother anybody at all. It's that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one who came to die to pay for our sins. You've heard the story that took place in World War II. I'm sure it happened many, many times. But in World War II, they would put a service star, a star in the windows. It hung in the windows of someone who had a son who was fighting in the war. And one night, a father and his young son were out walking in the down the streets of their neighborhood, and the boy was looking at all the houses where those stars were hanging in the window, and he was intrigued by each one. And of course, the dad knew a lot of the families, and he would talk about which son and who it was that was out fighting. And in many cases, there were maybe a couple of stars hanging in the window because a couple of boys were out fighting in the war. And they walked along, and pretty soon they came to a vacant lot there in the neighborhood, and way off in the horizon there was a bright star shining, and the boy just stopped and stared. And the dad could tell that his young son was kind of curious about that and wondering about that, and the boy looked at his dad and he said, "Daddy, look," he said, "God must have sent his son because he has a star hanging in his window." You know what? That is so true. That is exactly what God did. He sent his son because there was no one else to be sent. There was no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way." If Christmas doesn't take place, if God doesn't send his son, then we all die and go to hell. Every human does. But the gift of God, the priceless gift, that's why you can't put a price. It's priceless because it's the only way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, I'll be religious, won't get you to heaven. I'll do good things. Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, it's priceless because it is the only way to get to heaven. Isn't it amazing what people will pay as they start to run out of items? You've seen it. You've watched. You've seen them. When Black Friday, you know, "We only have so many items." Yeah, sure. You know, "We only have so many. If you're here at this time," you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever it might be, and people camp out, and they've got tents in the front, you know, and there they are, you know, they're at the front of the door, and they rush in only to be run over by all these grandmas and moms, and, you know, and people stomp on each other. People got in fights and everything. And then, it, you know, how much they'll pay for something. Remember Furbies? They're back. Yeah. Remember Tickle Me Elmos? Remember when you tried to get that one, the last one in the whole town? Yeah. Isn't it amazing what you'll do and what you'll pay to get those things? How about tickets to that game? You know, what we'll do. There's only one ticket left? Yes, and I have it, $10,000. And people pay for those tickets. And they'll pay for those items. Why? Because it's the last one. Listen to me. God's gift is the only gift. It is the only way for you to go to heaven. There isn't any other way. I don't say that because I'm a Baptist. I don't say that because I know more than anybody else. I say that because that's exactly what God said in His Word. His gift, it's priceless. What do they call those things? Knockoffs. You know, there's no duplicate of, there's no copy of. Though there's a lot of people that would like to copy it, but it's the only way to be saved. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is no other way. His gift is priceless. Number one, it's personal. It's perfect. His gift is, number three, priceless. Number four, his gift is practical. It is practical. Why? Because look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His gift is so practical. It's not like we get saved and then, bink, we're in heaven. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? But no, it's very practical. It keeps going. You know, I got saved when I was 17 years old. Now I'm 54 years old. And so 37 years I've been saved and he's been working in me. And he's been working on me. And he's been using me. It is very practical. He said that I'm his workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus. When I received his gift, He made me a new creature, and He works in my life, and He created me in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that means year-round, that means during any kind of weather, that means any place, any time, any condition. It's His gift is very practical in my life. It changes my life. It changed my life. How many kids will get that perfect gift that you spent a fortune on and you fought to get it, and they'll have that thing, and the first day, it's the greatest thing in the world, and a week later, they don't even look at it anymore. Don't raise your hand. But I'm going to tell you something about God's gift. It's so practical. It's so practical. I never tire at God's gift. I don't get bored with God's gift. Now, some may. You know, some, and maybe you say, yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of bored with it. Listen, His gift is life. And it's to be lived every day. His gift is eternal life. It's every day. You know, I woke up this morning. By the way, Friday morning or Saturday morning, actually by Friday night, you know, I'm thinking, well, I wonder how many people are going to come out of their bomb shelters. But, you know, every day you wake up, it's life. I woke up this morning saved. But I woke up yesterday morning saved, too. And I fully anticipate waking up tomorrow morning saved. Amen? A child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm not, you know, it's not a pauper of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm His kid. And you know, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Any day, any weather, any place, any time, any condition, His gift, it's life. It is to be lived each and every day. And by the way, this gift that He gave me came with a set of instructions. It's so practical because He tells me what to do. He tells me how to live. You say today, well, I received His gift. I'm not doing so hot. Get out His instructions. Read the instructions. It's good stuff. And it's practical. It really is. To be lived each and every day. And we have the instructions. Verse 10, it says this. It says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. And what's that? That's every day. That gives me purpose every day. What? To be His workmanship. To work for Him. To do whatever He wants me to do. I'm His workmanship. I'm created for Him and by Him to do whatever He wants me to do. And you know what? I don't even need batteries. Look real quick, 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Here's how practical it is. We don't have to be plugged in. We don't, we have to be plugged into Him. But once you get saved, the plug's there. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. Notice what he says about his gift. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. And I understand he gives us more gifts. But you know, ultimately it's the gift of God, which is eternal life. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, it says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up. Amen? You know, stir up that gift. Stir up that eternal life that God gave you. Stir that up in your life. You say, well, you know, it's kind of a ho-hum Christian life. Stir that thing up. When you were excited, go back to what you did when you were excited. Go back to that first love when you were excited about the gift of God. Go back to the first, hey, the gift of God. It doesn't matter if it's snowing. It doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter where you meet. It doesn't matter how comfortable the pews are. It doesn't matter how good the sound system works. It doesn't matter what all's going on around you. The gift of God's going on in me. Stir that thing up and be excited about the things of God. Because it's a practical gift. It's every day. You wake up in the morning, oh, I got to go to... How about wake up in the morning and say, hallelujah, I'm still saved. Glory to God, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord, the world didn't end. I can serve Him a little longer. Praise the Lord, the world did end. I'm in heaven. Amen. His gift is practical. And number five, His gift is presented. It's presented. Go back to Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. His gift is presented even when we were dead. Just when we needed it, he offered it. Amen.
Amen.
Just when I needed it, even when we were dead, he presented his gift to me. And we have a choice to make. We have a choice. I mean, honestly, God put it there while we were yet sinners. He put it there when we were dead in sins. I mean, let's be honest. When I heard how to be saved, the first time I really paid any attention, it's when I realized I needed to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
It was when I realized I was going to go to hell. That's when I started paying attention. Wait a minute, what are you going to do? What do I have to do? Oh, you have to be born again. You have to get saved. You have to call on Jesus to save you. Don't I have to do something else? No, that's what you need to do. That's the gift that God has offered you. It's your choice. Now honestly, it seems like, come on, that's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't everybody get saved? Why wouldn't we want to get saved? But I didn't right away. Some of you didn't either. You waited. And you waited. But the choice was there. It's kind of like the choice when I was little. Would it be the Major Mason Space Station or green socks? I mean, both were gifts. I remember. I can still see it. I had the Major Mason Space Station. Remember, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you have no idea what good toys really are. But anyway, and the space crawler. Oh, that was awesome. I wish I had that again. But both of them were gifts. But there's the Major Matt Mason Space Station with Major Matt Mason and all the gang. And then there's the gift of green socks. I opened my green socks. They were both gifts. They both, one had appeal and the other one didn't quite have the same appeal. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm still excited about God's gift. But when it was presented to me, why in the world would I hesitate? Why do you hesitate? You're here without Christ today. Maybe you've gone to church all your life, but you've never been saved. Happens all the time. Maybe you don't really realize your need. Look at John chapter 4, verse 10. I'm just about done. Kind of disappointed. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus met the woman at the well, and you know the story. But notice what he says in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If thou knewest the gift of God. You know, if Jesus said, if you just were thirsty enough, you'd want that water. If you just, your mouth was so dry and parched, and if you knew that I could give you water, living water, you'd take that thing. That's why we preach and teach and go soul winning and give out gospel tracts, because we want people to be real, real thirsty. I mean, honestly, you have somebody that's really thirsty and you offer them the Major Matt Mason Space Station or a glass of water, they're going to take that glass of water. You get somebody that's really, really, really thirsty and you offer them a $100 bill or a glass of water, and there's no store where you can spend your $100 bill. I know, but you're going to take that glass of water. And the whole idea is, are you thirsty? See, at the age of 17, I got real thirsty. And he said, I offer you living water. His gift is presented, but it's our choice. And it's yours when you take it. It's like Noah's Ark. All those people, Noah preached to them years, 100 years, preached to all those people. They mocked him, made fun of him. Come on, Noah, what's wrong? Are you crazy? You're wasting your time. But when the rains came down and the floods came up, they realize he didn't waste his time. They also realize he made the right choice and they made the wrong choice. People in hell today made the wrong choice. And God presents his gift. You're here without Christ today. God's gift is presented to you. By the way, just like it's going to be on Tuesday morning, you'll open your gift, somebody will offer you a gift. It's not yours until you take it. I'm so glad at the age of 17 I took it. Some of you maybe had it offered to you at the age of 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 and 20, and you never took it. I beg you to take the gift. Because number six, the last thing, his gift is permanent. His gift is permanent. Number one, his gift is personal. Number two, his gift is perfect. Number three, his gift is priceless. Number four, his gift is practical. Number five, his gift is presented. Number six, his gift is permanent. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved." You see that? You're saved. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. It's new life. It's a different life. It's eternal life. It is eternal. It is absolutely perfect. It is in fact, the gift that does keep on giving. Amen. The gift that keeps on giving. I thought about that, and I remembered a gift that kept on giving. One of my deacons gave David, when he was very young, gave him a horn siren on purpose. And this horn siren had a battery in it, and you push a button, and literally it made every kind of siren sound in the world and horn sound, and it was very, very loud, and it was the gift that kept on giving. It kept giving me a headache. The deacon thought that was funny. And it kept giving that until I removed the batteries. But the truth is, God's gift, it's permanent. It keeps on giving. How long? It keeps on giving into eternity. It never stops giving. Do you understand? If we never got a mansion, okay, if we never walked on streets of gold, we just went to heaven. Do you understand? The gift is still eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other stuff, the mansion on the corner of Glory Boulevard and Hallelujah Lane, the pond of chocolate in the backyard. I go from pond to lake to sea. It doesn't matter. All those things, you know, that's all just good stuff. But the best thing about it is the gift that we have in heaven for all eternity. It's eternal life. I've never known anyone to return the gift of God. They've already got customer service places in all the stores already figured out. Lines, places for lines are now forming for people to take back the junk. I mean the precious items that they don't want. And, you know, there will be all kinds of people assigned for returns, you know. And they don't even ask, did this not work? They just can tell by looking at it. Nobody would want. I mean, no. But but they're ready. And you know what? I've never known anyone to return God's gift. I've been with a lot of people. I mentioned this in Sunday school. Been with a lot of people when they went to heaven. And I've never had one complain. Never had one gripe. Somebody about to die. I've never had them say, I wish I never would have got saved. I've heard many, many, many times people say, I'm so glad. I am so glad that I trusted Christ as my Savior. You understand? My grandparents are enjoying that gift right now. They're enjoying it in heaven. My dad, my mom, they're enjoying that gift in heaven. Friends that we know, Brother Click, his first Christmas in heaven. What a time he's having. We think we decorate. I love it. I love our decorations. I think they're fantastic. I love the way the church looks, the foyers and everything, and people have gone all out, and it just looks so nice. Can you imagine what the decorations are like in heaven? Wow. And they're enjoying it. But you know, I'm enjoying that gift right here on this earth. Praise God for his gift, the gift of God. My question is, number one, do you have that gift? It's offered to you. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can get saved today and you can receive that gift. But my question also is to Christians, are you enjoying that gift? The gift of God that he gave you. Are you going to let, you know, all the naysayers of the world and the doomsdayers, you know, all the world's ending. Well, praise God. Let it in. You know, we've got a wonderful eternity ahead of us. Amen. You're going to rejoice in the gift of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.